So the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has confirmed he will not accept the Northern Ireland-only backstop as a solution to the Brexit deadlock. But here's the twist. According to the DUP, he might have told the DUP, but has he said it publicly over recent days? And why, as I said in the introduction to this programme, all of a sudden are we talking about a Northern Ireland-only backstop? Could it possibly be the case where some type of backstop, rebadged, rebranded, Northern Ireland only, is going to be the solution to the Brexit conundrum? And how will unionists feel about that? And how will you feel about it? Whichever side of the community you're on. 0303 80 55 55. Can Arlene Foster trust Boris Johnson? The DUP brought Boris Johnson to their party conference. Boris stood up and made a speech promising the DUP loyalty, promising them that he was on their side, walked out, flew back to London, and then voted for Theresa May's deal. Let's listen to what Arlene Foster had to say on Good Morning Ulster this morning with Noel Thompson.
Boris Johnson tells you he's ruling out a Northern Ireland only backstop. There'd be many people who'd say you'd be mad to believe him. Why do you?
Well, I don't know why they would say that, given that this is the Prime Minister talking to us, and given that.
Well, because for one reason, he told your party conference last year that it was time to junk the backstop, then he voted for it a few months later.
Well, given, if you let me finish, Noel, and given that he has written as recently as this month to President Tusk, setting out why the backstop is anti-democratic and unconstitutional. And so he has set out very clearly, for the first time actually, why the backstop cannot be the basis for moving forward. So therefore, we do believe that he is in the space of trying to find a deal, and not least because he knows that the people of Northern Ireland want a deal, the people of the United Kingdom, and we must move forward to get a deal to leave the European Union by the 31st of October.
But there are people, even with his own cabinet quarters, saying he's double-faced, he's Janus-faced, two-faced. He has to be to survive. He's telling people what they want to hear from him. He's certainly telling you that.
Well, I believe that anyone who believes in the United Kingdom would not go for the backstop, which is why when it was proposed by the European Commission, you will recall, that the then Prime Minister and indeed the then Leader of the Opposition rejected the Northern Ireland-only backstop, saying that no British Prime Minister could ever sign up to that.
So, that's Arlene Foster, pretty sure that she can trust the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson. Do you know the way we get curious when things are talked about by different people within a political party? Have a listen now to what the deputy leader of the DUP, Nigel Dodd, said to Emily Maitlis on Newsnight earlier this week. Let's have a listen to this.
Great. I'm just asking for your response now. If this is Boris Johnson's only deal, if this is the only way left to him, because he won't ask for an extension and he won't break the law, what would you say to the Prime Minister?
We're very clear that we agree with what Boris Johnson put in his letter to Donald Tusk. The backstop is anti-democratic. It means that nobody in Stormont or London would have any say over large swathes of the economic laws that would apply in Northern Ireland. He has rejected that. He also accepts our position that it's contrary to the provisions of the Belfast Agreement. He's accepted that. So I don't expect Boris Johnson to do anything of the sort. There may be some areas where in certain areas of the economy where it's to the benefit of Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom and the Irish Republic and the rest of the EU to have arrangements. But that would have to be subject to the provisions of paragraph 50 of the joint vote, which we inserted, which is that the consent of the Northern Ireland Assembly, unionists and nationalists, would have to apply. Right. So if all of that applies, then that is fine.
Now, the key word in there from Nigel Dodds, arrangements. So there might be some areas, said Nigel Dodds, if it were to the benefit of the UK, the Irish Republic and the EU, that there would be arrangements. Is arrangements a euphemism for some type of backstop? Is this what you're being prepared for? What arrangements? Now, to be fair to Nigel Dodds, he has inserted that caveat in there that it would have to be both communities here in Northern Ireland represented by some type of Northern Ireland assembly that would be able to agree those. That's an assembly that hasn't been up and running, by the way, for 3 years. But arrangements? What on earth does Nigel Dodds mean by arrangements? Is that some type of regulatory alignment with the EU? Interesting, isn't it? Got even more interesting when I was speaking to Jim Wells yesterday for the Top Table show. We recorded it yesterday. It's been broadcast on BBC One tonight at 10:40. Let's have a listen to what Jim Wells understands is happening within his party.
Stephen, that's an agreement for agricultural products and animal health. It's an agreement that would be controlled by the two governments, the government of Northern Ireland, the government of the Irish Republic. It would not be enforced by the European Union.
So we would have regulatory alignment in terms of food.
But controlled by the people of Northern Ireland and not controlled by the bureaucrats of Europe. That's the crucial difference.
But it would be regulatory alignment, yeah, and there's
no issue,
wouldn't it?
There would be no issue with that, Stephen, provided it had the democratic control of the both jurisdictions. That's the issue. Now, that's only been floated at the moment. That's not hard policy. But the backstop's a totally different
animal. It would be aligned with EU rules, Jim.
Yes, but under
this is what your party has moved.
But
that's movement
Stephen,
the backstop.
But under the control of the Northern Ireland Assembly or its successor. That's the significant point there, Stephen. It is not being enforced by the bureaucrats, and it's not the major constitutional change that the backstop represents.
Yes, but we would be living to EU rules, Jim.
Yes, but the issue here, Stephen, is we would not be under the control of the EU. We would be aligning ourselves voluntarily with European rules. Yes.
But from a man and a party that said we want freedom to align ourselves with our own rules, actually what you're saying in the run-up to Brexit is you want to take the EU rules.
But it doesn't have the toxic element of having control by Europe on the internal affairs of the United Kingdom.
But you're being forced now to abide by the EU rules.
We can opt out of those rules if we want to at any stage. The problem with the backstop is that once we're in, the only way we get out is through the consent of Leo Varadkar, and that's never going to happen.
So, Jim, here's the reality. It's a volunteer backstop.
It's one that we have control over, and that's the crucial difference.
But it's a volunteer
and
backstop,
and it doesn't represent
that's
the constitutional peril that the backstop does.
So the DUP, one second, so the DUP does believe in a kind of backstop?
Well, that policy hasn't been developed as yet, Stephen. That's an idea that's been suggested.
3 weeks away from the 31st of October.
And nobody wants a no-deal Brexit, Stephen. Nobody wants it. Nobody in Northern Ireland who's advocating a no-deal.
You're looking for a volunteer backstop, aren't you?
It's not a volunteer backstop because the backstop we have no control over because it's implemented by Europe.
But you're up for a type of backstop.
It's not a backstop. It's an agreement between ourselves and the Irish Republic for the free flow of goods across the border.
It's an agreement for the free flow of goods across the border. Of course, I said 3 weeks away from the end of October. I can't count. We're about 7 weeks away, aren't we? The SDLP MLA, Claire Hannah, with us this morning. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, the language is getting interesting now.
Yes, well, I mean, it's been quite clear to most people that this is the only direction that this could go, even if no deal had have happened, really, once the UK government decided to get serious about trade and about putting the jigsaw back together. The border question was going to be sitting waiting, and the EU weren't going to resile from that. And after 3 years of people talking about alternative arrangements that we know don't exist, I think we are getting into alternative words here. And we know Boris Johnson is prepared to go there, as you outlined in your piece there. You know, he had thumped the table and said no before there. But I think it is...
Well, Arlene Foster's pretty sure that Boris Johnson has given her a promise that he won't go there.
Although I think it's interesting that he hasn't stood in front of a TV camera and a microphone and said that. Do you know what? I do want to say, and I think it's a feature of the better years of the peace process here, not to bash people over the heads when something difficult is going to happen or when they're going to have to resile from position. So I don't want to do that. I don't think we should be going nah, to the DUP if this is how it plays out. And I think it's quite clear this is, you know, the only sensible way that it can play out. But part of the problem has been the DUP not listening or not acknowledging any perspective or view that wasn't their own. And we've had that for many decades from that party. They just refuse to understand that just because, you know, this wasn't their ideal scenario, that a majority of people here wanted it. And that, of course, as I've said before, the backstop and any of these arrangements are a consequence of the extreme type of Brexit that the DUP have either chased or have failed to moderate.
But if there was an all-Ireland food zone, some unionists might see that as a slippery slope towards Northern Ireland diverging on an increasing basis away from Great Britain.
Well, I can see where that comes from. I mean, I'll be very clear as well. My absolute preference is to remain and for a vote again for people to check if this is what they want, because even the best Brexit, even the backstop, is worse than the status quo. And I've heard even Brexiter people and people who are firmly against the backstop begin to say that. So I think that would be a useful check for people to realise what their initial decision in 2016 actively means. But, okay. I don't think it stands up. Ultimately, the Good Friday Agreement is very clear. The constitutional status does not change until that's what a majority of people want, although it's very clear the DUP are driving more people to that position. But it doesn't, if they're conceding that there can be some checks, and I think we need to remember there are already numerous checks and numerous divergences between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, including many of them once insisted on by the DUP.
I think that many people in Northern Ireland will be wanting to drill harder into what Nigel Dodds meant by these arrangements that could benefit the UK, the Irish Republic and the EU. What are those arrangements? And if they are all Ireland arrangements, and Nigel Dodds is saying, well, let's put this point actually to Jim Wells, who will also feature on tonight's programme from the DUP. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So essentially, it seems to me that what you're saying and what your party is saying is, look, there could be these arrangements, whatever they are, but that Northern Ireland, both the Nationalists and the Unionists, Northern Ireland would have a lock on that. Is that right? A veto on that?
Yeah, Stephen, the context of the top table discussion was, are there are ideas out there that are being explored to get around the toxicity of the backstop? And I quoted this as one. This is something that's only been floated within this last few weeks. There's no hard proposal, as it were, on it. But the theory is this, that the backstop's toxic because once you're locked in forever. And the only way you're going to get out is with the consent of the Irish Republic, which is hardly going to be forthcoming, or else at a huge price. So if two sovereign governments enter into an agreement to control anything, be it animal welfare, food standards, etc., that's fine because they're both under the democratic control of, in this case, the Dáil and hopefully the Northern Ireland Assembly.
Okay, but let's explore that slightly more, Jim, and think about it, right? So the Northern Ireland Assembly, by the way, we don't have one, but if we did have one, you're saying this is safe, unionists shouldn't be worried because the Northern Ireland Assembly would have the veto. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Yes, what Nigel's saying is that whatever arrangements made has to be under the democratic control of Stormont. It also means that if you're unhappy with the agreement, you can pull out at any time. The danger of the backstop is once you're locked in forever.
Okay, but here's what unionists should understand. If Nigel Dodds is saying that, look, there could be some areas, and let's explore if that is indeed food, okay? Because you've talked about it could be a food zone, Jim, okay? So
it could be an agreement covering food and animal welfare.
Okay, yeah. So if it's an agreement covering food and animal welfare, and Nigel Dodds is saying, well, look, if it benefits the UK, the Irish Republic and the EU, yes, we could have arrangements. Let's say that is about food and animal welfare. But don't worry, unionists, because the Northern Ireland Assembly or some body like it will have a veto. But think about that. The veto works both ways. So if those arrangements were in place, then the Nationalists surely could say, no, we've got a say in this we're not letting you out of it.
No, Stephen, it has to have the agreement of both Unionists and Nationalists.
But it would be in place in order to get Brexit sorted. And then to get out of it being in place, you would need Nationalist consent, wouldn't you? That's my point.
Yeah. No, it would have to fold if Unionists lost confidence in it. And as I say, it's not even really on the table at the moment.
So Nationalists wouldn't have a say then?
Pardon?
So Nationalists wouldn't have a say?
No, if both communities would have a say.
But if both communities has a say, if both communities would have a say, and if both communities differed, so if Sinn Féin, for example, said, we want to stay in this Nigel Dodds arrangement, and the DUP said, no, we now want to come out, who prevails?
Well, it would have to be unionism in general, not just the DUP, and the agreement could not continue unless it had cross-party support. Simple as that.
It doesn't matter what Nationalists think. The DUP would then have a veto.
Stephen, look, the backstop's toxic. Everybody agrees with that. various ideas are being floated to try and get round the constitutional peril that the backstop...
When your deputy leader goes on a national network television programme, Newsnight, and tells Emily Maitlis that there will be, that there could be some areas where there could be arrangements that could benefit the UK, Irish Republic and the EU, I think all of us in Northern Ireland want to know, what are the arrangements? Is this a backstop rebadged?
That was in the context of the Prime Minister saying last night, there will be no backstop, be it Northern Ireland, Pacific or otherwise.
It wasn't actually. He said it before the Prime Minister spoke. He said it two nights ago.
Yes. And also, if you read the letter to Donald Tusk, which I have several times, it's very, very clearly written that any form of backstop is toxic, is totally unacceptable for many reasons. It has no support from unionism.
This is a form of backstop.
Pardon?
Is this not a form of a backstop?
No.
I know you don't want to call it a backstop.
It's not under the control of the European Union. It's control of a sovereign government.
Okay, so it's a voluntary backstop.
No, it's not a voluntary backstop, but the backstop's a totally different animal, Stephen. I'm surprised that someone on your fabulous salary has not read up how different the backstop is to everything else, because we are locked into a system where we diverge from the rest of the United Kingdom. We remain within the customs union and part of the single market. The rest of the UK drifts away from that.
Okay.
We can't get out without the Irish consent. And, of course, it doesn't have any union support.
One of the things, Jim, my fabulous salary pays for is for me trying to get answers out of political parties. So this morning, I'm very calmly saying to the DUP, and I know that, you know, the DUP would say that you're maybe not at the very centre of their policy making.
You're going to say that again, Stephen.
but what my fabulous salary is doing this morning is simply saying to Dundella House, what are these arrangements that Nigel Dodds is talking about? What are they? Does it go beyond an All-Ireland food zone? Is it an All-Ireland food zone? What other All-Ireland arrangements are we going to come up with?
Well, Stephen, there already are six. There's waterways, there's food standards, there's industrial promotion. We do, unfortunately, have six of these bodies already under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. But crucially, they are under the control of the Northern Ireland Assembly. In other words,
we don't have an assembly.
When it's up and running again. And we're kept under complete control for 20 years under the Northern Ireland Assembly. And those bodies get on with their functions and represent at no threat the constitution of Northern Ireland.
Claire?
Well, look, you know, there's clearly some space to discuss, because essentially the DUP are now finally acknowledging the principle of divergence if it's on agriculture and food, and that will require checks, I suppose, in the IRC. So there's somewhere to go, and let's give them some space on that journey. And personally, if it doesn't end up being called the backstop, but it has those protections, it's something you could live with. But obviously, the first flaw, of course, is that there is no assembly with which to do this overseeing, in very large part due to the DUP ignoring views that they don't hold, even when a majority do. So I think we will need the DUP to move out of this space where, if it's not exactly to their tastes and preferences, they block it, and they don't just vote against it, they block it. But clearly, if you're conceding the principle that some areas are different, there's somewhere to go on this. But also, clearly, it can't be piecemeal. There are far more than six areas of cooperation. And, you know, you can't have a scenario where there's free movement of cheese, but, you know, not people who live in this area. So I'm welcoming the moving on the principle of divergence for the DUP, but they're not going to be able to slice and dice it in this
Here's
way.
Tom. Let me bring in Tom. One second, Jim. You can go back in a second. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Tom.
Number one, I'll just say this before I start. What your salary is and who pays it is only your business, nobody else's. There's a whole lot of people getting salaries in this country and they're not earning it at all. Now, I think the gist of your programme this morning towards Brexit is a bit ridiculous. It's one-sided. Leave is leave. That's the democratic wish of the people of the UK. I'm no bigot, nor never want to be one. But leave is leave. If there's a vote in the morning in Stormont or anywhere else, which we don't have, the majority rules it. Boris Johnson, in my book, is I don't know what the words are, but he's trying very hard to get a deal, I think, anyway. And he should be given every support. His own people went against him, 21 of them. And like, how do they expect the man to have any ammunition to get a really good deal if his hands are tied behind his back? That's all I've got to say.
Well, Tom, do you trust Boris Johnson? When Arlene Foster is saying...
100%. He was voted in as Prime Minister and he should be allowed to do it. There's no question about it. The same, you've been appointed for your programme every morning and you're entitled to do it. And people, other people commenting on your salary and that gets my back up. I done a job of work for an awful number of years for practically nothing. But I did all right at the end of the day. And that was my business. And everybody else's business is theirs. Your salary is only between you and the person that are people that are willing to pay it.
Would you be
nobody
would,
else's?
Whatever these arrangements are, keyword arrangements that Nigel Dodds was talking about. Would you like to know what further room the DUP is contemplating for these areas, which would benefit the UK and the Irish Republic and the EU? Where there would be, presumably, there would be regulatory alignment.
Stephen, I would like Boris Johnson to be given all the help that he can get to bring forward a deal. I'm totally far out for a million reasons, maybe 14 billion reasons, million reasons. But I'm for a deal, a decent deal, that suits everybody, that's good for you, good for me, and good for everybody else, not just a particular one. There's no point in hammering. What's happening in Northern Ireland and in the mainland, Labour's against Conservatives, vice versa. Here, Nationalists against Unionists, and vice versa. And they're all fighting for their own votes, and it's ridiculous. You know, you need to give this man a chance.
Okay.
And he hasn't got one, not from the day he took over.
Tom, thank you. Jim Wells?
Well, Stephen, I mean, I need to keep emphasising the fact that whatever agreement would be forthcoming, and of course there's nothing on the table at all at the moment at all, but the various ideas that are being floated...
Well, Nigel Dodds and Arlene are talking to the Prime Minister. So what are they talking to them about?
Well, they were talking yesterday, of course, to get an absolute confirmation that any form of backstop is out. And I'm relieved to hear that. Now, but then Nigel added, we understand the Irish position in this. We understand their concerns. And there has to be other ways of getting around these particular problems. And, of course, this is only for agricultural products.
So any form of backstop is out, but some form of arrangement is in.
Yeah, because there's a total difference here, because the fear that unionists have of the backstop is once you're locked in, you can never get out.
So it's a voluntary backstop?
What's been proposed is not a voluntary backstop, Stephen. We have been told we are in it, and we are in it for good, and the only way out is if the other 27 members vote to release us.
Claire?
Yeah, well, I want to comment firstly on Tom's. I mean, and I accept where he's coming from on this, and he's absolutely entitled to hold that strong leave view. I think it's a bit generous to Boris Johnson when he said it's unfortunate that his own people are going against him, given that Boris Johnson spent the last couple of years going against his own people in the form of Theresa May, who was at least trying to acknowledge the realities of a land border on this island and the Good Friday Agreement and the fact that this is against the consent of people. And I think as I said at the start, the Brexit supporters, including Jim and the DUP, failed to produce alternative arrangements, and now they're looking for alternative words on this.
Well, Claire, it's not alternative words. It's a fundamental different approach. It's an approach that's entirely in the control of the elected representatives of this party, United Kingdom. It's not imposed
by Europe. But of course it can't be, Jim, because one, we don't have an assembly here because you never accept the views of other people, and we cannot function in a sort of a piecemeal stop-start
way that at the DUP's whim, and the DUP is full of whims, that it can decide to take these things. It also needs to be very clear that you're characterising the backstop as some sort of trick or prison. And quite clearly, there are two ways to get out of the backstop. They are to produce the alternative arrangements that you've confidently talked about for 3.5 years, or to agree a trading relationship that removes the need for it. So, you know, it's always been presented, and this is part of the attempt to pin everything on everybody else except the people who thought it was this terrible idea. But it's not a prison.
The commentator Newton Emerson joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Newton. Morning, Newton.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think's going on here? So Arlene Foster saying she's been promised by the Prime Minister no form of backstop. Is this a form of backstop that will be rebranded, or what is this?
Yes, I think so. I think Claire Hanna was very right there in saying we're looking more for alternative words at the moment, as well as alternative arrangements. The one thing that doesn't really make it a backstop is that instead of being an insurance policy, something that we try and get out of later with technology, where people appear to be landing is on a permanent arrangement, an All-Ireland agri-food zone that will last forever. So that, I think, is a change of concept.
And how will that go down with grassroots unionists?
Well, that very much depends on the efforts the DUP puts into selling it. I think it does appear that they're going at this stage to try to sell it, but experience with the DUP and other deals suggests that they're very vulnerable to accusations of selling out. They have a great deal of difficulty with being exposed on their right flank. We'll see how they go, really, I think, is the answer to that.
Do you think unionists have anything to fear if indeed it was an All-Ireland food zone?
No, good God. Sure, there's already an All-Ireland SPS zone, as it's called, for all animals and live animals being imported, and plants and wood products and so on. It's a considerably different issue in scale if you extend that to food, but not in concept. So, no, of course there's nothing to fear. I think that when all this is over, we're going to look back at the fuss that was made essentially over shipping paperwork and be embarrassed at ourselves.
So if, Newton, there were to be regulatory alignment with the EU in terms of our food in Northern Ireland only as part of the UK, then that is divergence from the UK, obviously, from the rest of the UK. And how would that affect other trade deals on food that the UK would be doing, that Great Britain would be doing, with other places around the world, with the likes of America?
Well, it's not necessarily going to be a yes or no situation with trade deals. For a start, this sea border is only going to work in one direction. So it will check stuff coming into Northern Ireland, but not going out. So that's a complication. And we may be able to arrange trade deals on a UK-wide level where Northern Ireland goods get special treatment, get some access to those trade deals, because after all, there will be a sea border to check them. And of course, most of these checks will take place at point of origin and point of arrival. That's the real point. The sea border will not be at the sea largely in a further complication. It will be in the shipping paperwork that's completed at the beginning and end of journeys. So there's, again, very much, there is large scope for flexibility there. We've also got to remember that we may not want to be involved in these trade deals. They could, the UK is not an agricultural country by and large, but we are. So trade deals arranged by the UK may be highly unsuitable to us.
So this is about, am I hearing this right, that what you're saying is this is about how the DUP will sell this, and they will not want to sell any divergence from the UK. They will not want that message to get out there, presumably, but the reality of it is you don't think there's anything to fear from it.
No, I think that the DUP will try a more nuanced pitch than that. It seems that they and the EU and the UK are going to say, yes, there will be divergence, but it will have democratic accountability in Northern Ireland. There will be some role, not a veto, but some role for the Assembly and Executive, or if they don't exist, I'm sure they can find some other forum to do that.
And would the EU accept that?
The EU, according to reports today in the Times, is delighted with this idea. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what the so-called Stormont Lock would involve. There wouldn't be a unionist veto over the EU or even the backstop via the petition of concern. There wouldn't be a veto at Stormont over anything. It would be a consultative role that, you know, would be taken very seriously, but that but it essentially would be about us negotiating our position within this new arrangement.
Claire?
I mean, Newton raises some points about whether or not the type of trade deals that the UK gets are going to be any use to us. I think we should remind ourselves that there's no trade deal better than the one that we have, and the access to a market that already likes our product and that suits the high quality agricultural production here. But it raises a good point about this whole, oh, we'll be a rule taker and not a rule maker. The UK will always be a rule taker. If it leaves, it will always have to be in somebody else's regulatory orbit, because in global terms, it's going to be a tiny player if it burns its links with the single market. So it's always going to have to play by somebody else's rules.
Well, I think that you should take an even further step back from the regulatory issue on that, and realise that regulations are now being set globally. And while the EU is certainly a leader, a regulatory superpower, it's called in this, in order, I mean, the EU is seeking trade deals with China and the USA, for example. Regulations are being set globally. So in a sense, the regulation issue is melting away.
Well, absolutely, but the EU, as a bloc of over 500 million people, has a much bigger say and can largely call the shots. And of course, we are talking about, given that most of our exports are a large part, are around agriculture, you know, and we go for not the mass-produced market, we go for the high-quality market, and the EU is currently the market that buys that stuff.
OK. Claire Hannah, thank you very much. Newton Emerson, thank you. Jim Wells, Joe in Belfast has a question for you. Morning, Joe.
Hello, Stephen. Hi. Listen, Jim's on there about the vast majority of unionism would in fact be against some sort of backstop. Let me remind Jim Wells that this country went to a European referendum and voted to stay in Europe. Then to harden the vote, we went to a European election, and for the first time ever, unionism lost a seat to the Alliance, which proves beyond any shadow of a doubt that the original vote was hardened, even hardened more than a European election. The only thing about it is this. If you take into consideration the Greens, the SDLP, the Alliance, and Sinn Féin, and Jim Wells, his figures don't match up. And Jim wants to go back to the Brookborough days of majority rule, of one party ruling over the rest of Northern Ireland. That's gone, Jim. And what's happening now is that your leader is selling you out on the backstop, because Boris Johnson himself in the third vote at Westminster voted for it. And let me tell you something, Jim, before you interrupt me. See, whenever they were talking about the backstop, see, if the DUP hadn't had those 8 or 9 people sitting in the thing, the backstop would have been implemented in Northern Ireland. It would have been implemented right away. And Boris Johnson quietly, as a favour, well, you like it or not, of some sort of backstop.
Well, Arlene Foster has. Arlene Foster, Joe.
Your leader has sold you down a river.
Arlene Foster. Arlene Foster would deny that, Joe. Joe, listen to me, mate. Joe, stop talking, mate.
Hold on. They're not stopping.
No, not hold on. You need to let me host this, Joe.
There's two of them now.
You need to let me host this, Joe. So Arlene Foster would deny that, and she has given an assurance today that she's had a solemn promise from the Prime Minister that a backstop will not be tolerable. Jim Wells, do you want to respond to Joe?
Gosh, first of all, UK-wide referendum. Northern Ireland's part of the UK. Secondly, I think most of the DUP, in fact, all the DUP think that Arlene and the 10 MPs have played a blinder when it comes to negotiations for Europe, and there's strong support for what she's doing. And thirdly, Stephen, we've got a bit ahead of ourselves here. This arose in the context of a series of options which could be discussed in order to avoid the backstop, which is totally unacceptable. And you seem to have latched upon one idea and ran with it when there are many others. What I'm saying, and what Nigel was saying last night, is there are other options which are under the control of the people of Northern Ireland, which are not enforced by Europe, and which we can leave at
I've been around a few corners, Jim.
And when
Nigel Dodds just happens to start talking about arrangements, I think there's a strong possibility that that's being looked at. I don't think Nigel Dodds just looks up into the sky and just suddenly starts talking about things that could benefit the UK, Irish Republic and the EU, and then uses the word arrangements and isn't specific about what they are. I would put it to you that might be part of the DUP thinking.
Stephen,
and maybe the public should know exactly what these arrangements
are. Arlene Foster came out to the electorate and told us that Martin McInnes was going to be the first minister, and they all flacked the DUP because they couldn't bear the thought of that. Then she's going to hemorrhage here with the rest of the flag wavers, saying that if we leave, we're treated any differently from everybody in Europe, that we're all going to jump in the United Ireland. I'm telling you, they're on the road to United Ireland. They jump ship again. Thank God most of them didn't this time. Once you wave the flag, these people wave the flag in these people's faces. They don't care about farmers. They don't care about small business. They don't care about education. And in Jim Wales' case, they don't care about gay rights or anything else. Know what it is? It's the Union Jack. Know what it is? Lording it over the minority, which is no longer the minority. It's probably now the majority. Nationalists are probably now in the majority of Jim McCounty's figures up. But the point is this. Every time there's something sensible people told him to go down the road with us and to protect the farming industry. And that fella, Emerson, has his cheek to come on your show and tell you that agriculture isn't a big thing. We're England and Britain. Go and tell that to Welsh farmers. Go and tell it to Boris Johnson, who was up offering $200 million to help the Scottish farmers out over the next couple of years.
Joe,
nonsense is being reported in this show here by so-called...
Joe, thank you very much indeed. We went to the DUP this morning, central command of the DUP, DUP headquarters, should I say, and we said, look, what is the DUP's position on Northern Ireland staying in regulatory alignment with the EU, with the provision that it's controlled by the Northern Ireland Assembly? And we also asked, does the DUP accept that while there's still a petition of concern, there would be a nationalist veto over ever leaving the EU regulatory regime? And here's how the DUP responded. They said, the party removed the whip from Jim Wales. He is not a spokesman for the party. There will be all sorts of speculation. The Prime Minister has rejected the backstop, most notably in his recent letter to Donald Tusk. We want a sensible solution which does not undermine the economic or constitutional integrity of the United Kingdom. Only such a deal will be able to command the necessary support for it to succeed. So, what the DUP haven't told us, they've said you're not a spokesperson, Jim, for the party. They're not telling us.
That's correct.
They're not telling us what Nigel Dodds meant by arrangements. What are these arrangements? What are they?
I think that's a very sensible statement from the party press office, because I think it encapsulates where we're going. We're reasonable people. We will not, under any circumstances, accept any form of a backstop. But we are prepared to be reasonable to work out arrangements which are under the direct control of the people of Northern Ireland, and which we can leave at any time in order to get around this particular problem. And if it's injurious to the constitutional position of Northern Ireland, we can walk away.
For goodness sake.
And that's what we can't do with the backstop. We're locked in forever.
All I'm trying to do this morning, because it's a fundamental and important question. If the deputy leader of a political party starts talking about arrangements where there could be some areas that would benefit the UK, Irish Republic and the EU, could the DUP please spell out what those arrangements are and what conversations are going on with the Prime Minister, if any, about those arrangements? Stuart in Belfast. Morning, Stuart.
Hello there. Some of my questions have been answered. This arrangement that you are talking about the DUP and the Nationalists being able to veto any regulations that comes in from the EU after Brexit, if the DUP keep vetoing any deals or any regulations, that would bring them out of alignment with the EU, and then that would cause problems, and then would we not be forced to pull out of it again?
So what are you saying, Stuart? Say that again, mate.
The DUP are talking about an arrangement.
Yeah.
This arrangement with Brexit, to get over the hurdle of Brexit.
But they're talking about arrangements with the Irish Republic and the EU.
That's what I mean. If the DUP veto any new regulations that comes in after Brexit, after the 31st of October, that brings us out of alignment with EU regulations, and then that would cause us problems a week or two or a month or two down the lane. So it would be pointless getting into that there, because if even Sinn Féin or Nationalists veto everything, it would bring us out of alignment with EU regulations. Maybe I'm not making myself clear.
No, you are making yourself clear. I just want to know, are you not intrigued to know what the arrangements are?
I am, but that's the thing, you see, we don't know. And if the EU decide to bring in some kind of an arrangement that you can't use fertilizer for some reason and the DUP don't agree with it, they'll veto that. And if they bring out some other regulation that you can, you have to use something else for whatever DUP or Sinn Féin or Nationalists disagree with, then we're out of alignment with the EU. Have a veto on any regulations that comes in.
Fred in Lisburn. Morning, Fred.
Good morning. I have a question for Jim Wells. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Fred.
Jim, we have had no assembly for 2 years and 8 months now. So who's gonna handle the new regulations and have the videos when there's no assembly to make these decisions?
What we hope is that Sinn Féin will return to the assembly and allow all the parties to get together and start making laws and scrutinise.
Hope's a wonderful word, Jim, but it's just not working over here.
Well, you know, clearly we need, there's a democratic deficit. We need to have an assembly back up and running. I'm sad that Carahan has bought into the Sinn Féin dictionary and blamed the DUP for the collapse of the assembly, when, of course, it was Sinn Féin who walked out because they weren't getting all of what they wanted. Yeah. And I think most of this will be predicated on a return to the assembly, because we need that democratic control, as we've had over the 6 cross-border bodies since 1998, with a fair degree of effectiveness, actually, because they haven't been able to gain new powers and go further. We have kept those bodies under control and scrutinised them, and it's worked quite well. So therefore, we have to have an assembly for anything to work.
Well, then you're maybe going to have to give Sinn Féin an Irish Language Act.
And even before that, I'm not blaming Sinn Féin for walking out of the assembly. I'm blaming both parties. Both parties have their lines and are not prepared to move.
But we didn't walk out of the assembly, neither did the other 5 parties. There's only one party walked out and brought the whole institutions crashing down.
It only takes one to leave, but both parties have a responsibility in this country to put it right. And it's the kids, the future generations are suffering here, because there's no money for education, there's no money for health, there's no money for anything. And as well as that, Jim, what happens on the 31st of October? Or the 1st of November, when we actually leave, if we leave with no deal, then the Irish Republic have no say in the running of this country. Because it's aligned to the EU, and we have left the EU.
Well, I mean, everybody wants to leave with an agreement. Everybody. I haven't had a single politician in Northern Ireland demanding a no deal Brexit.
I would prefer to leave with a deal, but if we don't get one, what will we do?
And if you voted leave, Fred, do you think you voted for Northern Ireland to have, in certain areas, regulatory alignment with the EU?
I voted leave because I felt Britain can be, the UK can be stronger, Northern Ireland can be stronger outside the EU, but I would like a deal. I would like a deal with our EU neighbours. We need to work with everybody.